It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. It's Election Day, and polls in North Texas close at 7, about 40 minutes from now. In Dallas, a $1 billion bond package is on the ballot. In Dallas County, voters will decide whether to keep an agency that provides school bus service to area school districts. And in the Fort Worth School District, voters are deciding on a $750 million bond package and a school funding formula called a penny swap. Across the state, voters are considering 7 proposed amendments to the Texas Constitution. We'll have election results later this evening at keranews.org and coverage tomorrow morning during Morning Edition. Nearly $500 million. That's what arts and culture pump into Fort Worth's economy. The Arts Council of Fort Worth partnered with the group Americans for the Arts, which studied 341 communities across the country, its largest study of its kind. Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks attended one of the council's public presentations.
The Arts Council of Fort Worth spent a year gathering the data from local nonprofits. More than 100 were contacted, 73 responded. So the results don't reflect the actual size of Fort Worth's culture industry, which is bigger. But the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, as it's called, does give a picture of the groups that most often receive city support and what they contribute to Fort Worth in return. According to the study, more than $26 million in revenue are generated for local government. When audience expenses and the group's own spending are added up, it comes to more than $450 million per year. In addition, nearly 15,000 people have full-time jobs. That's more than the entire workforce of Lockheed Martin, the city's second biggest employer. Karen Wiley is president of the Arts Council of Fort Worth.
It's amazing the dollars that the arts bring to this community. So we do have a place at the table. And I think that as the Arts Council of Fort Worth, we can say we make a difference. We are providing so much great beauty and technology and education and history and talent.
Appropriately, this public presentation was held in Art 7 Gallery. It's in that stretch of West 7th Street that's boomed the past 5 years with apartments, shops, and restaurants. Developers essentially spun off of the success and appeal of the city's culture district. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
To learn more about the results of the Arts and Economic Prosperity Study, visit artandseek.org. And with work, family, and finding time to sleep, it's no wonder why many of us have a hard time getting in a daily workout. What if a simple pill, though, could give you all the benefits of going to the gym? Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with journalist Nicola Twilley about a new drug that promises just that.
When you exercise, your genes are changed. They're not permanently changed, but the instructions they issue are changed. So when you exercise your body, there's a series of sort of biochemical things that happen. And those chemicals can affect what instructions your genes issue. And your genes are issuing instructions all the time. Instructions for how much fast twitch muscle to have over slow twitch muscle, how much fat to burn versus glucose. All of that is coming from the genes. So if you can change the instructions the genes are issuing, you can change the metabolic response. And so it turns out that this drug does that for PPAR-delta, which is a drug that governs whether your body likes to burn fat over glucose and whether you get those slow twitch red muscle fibers that are the kind that marathon runners have and the kind that you build through training, or whether you have the fast twitch kind. So we don't actually know. This is the astonishing thing. We don't actually know how that gene is regulated during exercise naturally. But we know that this synthetic molecule does basically the same thing.
Nicola Twilley's article, The Exercise Pill, appears in The New Yorker. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. A new study on domestic abuse in Dallas County shows that over 5 years, 115 people were killed by a spouse or significant other. It's called intimate partner violence. The study also finds most of the victims did not seek help before they were killed. Jan Langbein is CEO of the Genesis Women's Shelter in Dallas, and she joins me to talk about the report.
My pleasure, Justin. Thank you for having me.
Now, this study focused on something called intimate partner violence. What is that?
Right. And that's just to be real specific on which cases we are going to review, because family violence, when you use the word family violence, that can be a sibling, brother on sister, that could be a grandson on grandmother. But what we are looking at are the intimate partner relationships, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, same gender partners, but they are in an intimate partner relationship.
Walk me through some of the findings. Black women were about twice as likely as white women to be killed by a partner, but men were victims too, as was a transgender woman.
Of the 115 individuals that died during this period, 76 were the primary victim. So you can see that the difference are those secondary victims. That is the grandmother that's over there, or the child that's in the house. But you're right. 82% of the primary victims were females. They aged between 19 and 71. African-American women were at the highest risk of fatality, 2 times more likely than white women to die, 4 times more likely for Hispanic than Hispanic women to die. But these numbers are not unique to Dallas County. This is pretty typical for, as we look across the country at other studies that are being done. Of the 76 murders, 51% were committed with guns. The presence of a gun, we know this from national studies, that the presence of a gun during a violent incident, during an argument, can increase the risk of homicide by 500%.
Your study finds that most of these victims killed over a five-year period didn't seek help. Why is that the case?
Well, and I think about this all day long. As CEO of Genesis Women's Shelter and Support here in Dallas, we are constantly trying to get the message out that if you or someone you know needs help, it's a phone call away. It's 214-946-HELP. But I wonder, why did they not reach out for help? And at first, when I first saw that study, I thought, what are we doing wrong? Why aren't we getting the word out? Why aren't people coming forward? But at the end of the day, what I don't know is how many people didn't die. I have to believe that where there is intersection with help, women don't die. So I'm flipping the outcome of this. But we do know that women are afraid to go to a shelter, or they think it's for poor people, or they think it, you know, they're embarrassed, or they're afraid they will have to get a divorce, or it looks like the Superdome after Katrina. There are 100 different reasons why today is not the day I grab my children up and go to a shelter. But I also want listeners to know that shelter is not the only answer, that before it ever gets that bad, places like Genesis have a counseling center, sort of that when the symptoms first, the red flags show, and the symptoms first rear their ugly heads, then reach out for non-residential help for moms and for kids. No cost, no strings attached, but it possibly could prevent that homicide.
What kind of advice do you have for someone who's in a violent relationship and wants to get out?
It's so easy. It is literally, if you or someone you know needs help, dial this number 24 hours a day, 214-946-HELP. We need to also know how to help a friend. How do I recognize if you are in a violent relationship? And do I have the courage, if I see something, to say something? Think about before 9/11, that if I saw a suitcase sitting alone at the airport, I wouldn't have said a thing. Now there's no one who wouldn't get up and say, there has been a backpack sitting there, right? We have to do the same thing with regards to domestic violence. And I got to tell you, it's not until we experience this societal paradigm shift that this will change. Abuse will not stop until abusers stop abusing. This is not the fault of the victim, and there's nothing she can do to change someone else's behavior.
Jan Langbein is the CEO of the Genesis Women's Shelter. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Cloudy skies in store for us this evening. A 50% chance for showers, low around 46 later this evening. Tomorrow, cloudy, an 80% chance of rain with a high near 49. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.